Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. This show is heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's also heard on Podomatic, which is podomatic.com. If you go to that website, you just punch in Camp Constitution Radio, and you'll be able to see many episodes of the show, past shows. We've been doing this for several years now, and we have quite a few great guests that have been interviewed, things that are timeless and very important, and they're all available as free downloads. And if you do go to podomatic.com, I recommend that you follow Camp Constitution Radio, and that way there you'll be notified of new uploads. And we usually post at least one a week, and we have a lot of, not just this show, but we have a lot of classic interviews and also speeches. So people like Gary Allen and just a good batch of people from the blast from the past, I should say, on the environment, on the Constitution, and many other important topics. So, and this show is brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a family camp. We host the Sam Blumenfeld Archives from our website. We have a YouTube channel with many of our classes and year-round activities that are posted. And so please visit that website, campconstitution.net. Now, we were supposed to have a guest who will be coming to camp with his family, Pastor William Levy, and his topic is Life Under Sharia Law. He called in, he tried to get on to the talk show, and he couldn't, so he called me, and I have never done this before, but I thought maybe it would record. Well, I learned that the minute someone calls in and you take the call, you no longer are recording on talk show. So we have to reschedule him, and hopefully he can get on. He has an incredible story. But I thought I'd sort of give a book review, and I know, oh, geez, time to turn off the show here and go to something else. But actually, a good friend of mine donated his bookstore inventory to Camp Constitution, just about all of it, 30 or so boxes of incredible books. And one of the ways we raise funds to keep the camp program alive and keep me in the field and make this show happen is through the sale, or really a donation of books. And we have an Amazon account, Camp Constitution Books. We have, I don't know, 700 or 800 types of books, different titles, and some pamphlets. Many of these things are out of print and very hard to find. And the last year and a half, I've been posting books on the Facebook page, my Facebook page, Hal Shurtleff, and there's several others, and we're all related. If you go to Facebook, but you'll see me, Camp Constitution, Boston. You'll see probably on a regular basis books that I'll post. I'll take pictures of the cover. In some cases, I'll give little descriptions. In some cases, let the book speak for itself. And I'll just say make an offer. And it's been very helpful. And it serves more than one purpose, not just to raise funds for camp, but is to get these good and excellent books back into circulation. And in some cases, known to people for the first time. There are a lot of people in the freedom movement that are relatively new, and they're very intelligent people. They have a lot to offer, but a lot of the information that they're getting is from the likes of Glenn Beck, his books, and Ann Coulter, and a lot of the what they call mainstream conservatives. And you might learn something from them, and I'm not doubting that. I know Ann Coulter has written some good books, and she comes out with a book every 6 months. She did a good book supporting Joe McCarthy. But there's a lot of topics that the big publishing companies don't like to touch and don't want to deal with. And I think it's very important. You cannot be successful. Sun Tzu says you have to know your enemy or you're not going to win. I'm paraphrasing. So if you really want to understand what's going on, you're probably not going to get all that information from some mainstream conservative talk show host. And that's why it's important. Now, of course, you'll get this from people like Mark Dice and Alex Jones. InfoWars, you'll get some more in-depth things. But they still tend to deal with more current issues than historical background. And first off, if you're going to be an active patriot, you need to have a good understanding of the Constitution. You don't have to be a walking encyclopedia and memorize every single amendment and be able to cite every Supreme Court decision that this amendment that somehow was used when this amendment applied to, what have you. But it's good to have an understanding of it so you know instinctively when something is constitutional and when it isn't. There are a lot of people will say, hey, this is, we need to do this. We need to counter this problem with more government, with a federal law or with federal money. And the minute you hear the word term federal money or federal regulation, you shake your head and say, nope, it's not constitutional. So get a copy of the U.S. Constitution. And we've been getting a lot of these out. And read it on a regular basis. You know, read it. Learn about the various roles of the federal government, what a congressman is supposed to do, what presidents are supposed to do. And when somebody says the United States president, he's the most powerful man in the free world, challenge that. Say, no, that's not his job description. Now, there are some good books that will help you have a better understanding of the U.S. Constitution. And I have one I want to recommend here, Basic American Government by Clarence Carson. Clarence Carson was a very prolific writer. He was a patriot. He's passed away some years ago. But his books are available, and you have a really good understanding of the Constitution by reading his books, and I would recommend that. So, again, the basic thing is knowing the Constitution. That's the fundamental. And you can also watch a lot of our videos on YouTube. A lot of our YouTube videos have people like Chris Ann Hall and the various instructors of Camp Constitution, which will help you. Now, what about knowing the enemy, knowing who the bad guys are? Well, Jim Perloff wrote a book back in 1988 called Shadows of Power, The Council on Foreign Relations and the American Decline. Although it hasn't been updated, the information is historical information going to the founding of this organization back in 1919 and 1920, that meeting at the Majestic Hotel in Paris, France, that gave the world the Council on Foreign Relations and the British counterpart and other, you know, and some of the principal individuals involved in the founding of the CFR, a man named Edward Mandel House. Now, House was to Woodrow Wilson as Kissinger was to Nixon. But unlike Kissinger, who loved the media, House was a shadowy figure. If you were a political, if you were rising in the Democrat Party, and you knew House and he liked you, you were going to go somewhere. So you knew where the power was. He actually had a room in the White House, and Woodrow Wilson called him his alter ego. Well, he wrote a novel in 1912 called Philip Drew Administrator, and Franklin Roosevelt got a copy of this book. His mother gave him a copy of this book. And Philip Drew Administrator was a dictator, and what Edward Mandel House was advocating was a dictatorship for the United States. Hated the Constitution and loved Karl Marx. And this was back in 1912. And that is available for relatively short money. You know, we have a lot of copies and so forth, but it's an important book. It's not the most well-written novel in the world, but it gives you understand sort of a blueprint for what these people want. A socialist, one world government, dictatorship, and of course the Constitution has to go. Now, practically every year, Hollywood comes out with another movie about Nazis and how rotten they were. But they never tell you how they get there, who funded them. They just Hitler came out of nowhere. So there's some really important books. One of them, this man wrote many, Professor Anthony Sutton. Anthony Sutton was a Stanford University professor, Hoover Institute, and I interviewed Patrick Wood, a colleague of his. Patrick was a much younger man, and Professor Sutton passed away several years ago, and he was up in his 90s. Anyway, he initially dismissed the concept of conspiracy. He thought that there's no way that you could carry something on with so many people sort of privy to the secrets or the workings of this conspiracy. But it wasn't until he makes reference to an anonymous source. It was a woman who whom I know, who lives up in Maine, Charlotte Isabet. Charlotte gave him some information on the Skull and Bones. In fact, what it was a membership list of past and present bonesmen. And when Sutton saw this, he couldn't believe that such a small amount of people, you know, several hundred, you know, and looked at the names of the past leaders of this or members, and he said, these people run the United States. And he wrote a book called The American Secret Establishment of the Order of the Skull and Bones. But before he did that, he went into the, who was funding the Soviet Union? Where were the Soviet Union and also Nazi Germany? Well, he wrote a book called Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. He pointed out that Wall Street interests, General Electric, others, funded Hitler, collaborated with Hitler. And people don't want to hear that. They want to think that everybody in World War II, they were all in on defeating Nazism. But Anthony didn't just stop with the Hitler issue. He looked at who funded the communists. And he wrote another book called Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. And in 1973, it was one of his first books, I believe. It's called National Suicide, Military Aid to the Soviet Union. Now, it's interesting that many people today are saying, oh, Trump, President Trump is a traitor because he and Putin collaborated to throw the election. Well, there isn't any evidence to suggest that happened. But all of a sudden, these people who have always denounced this country are all of a sudden super patriots and very much against this treasonous activity by collaborating with a foreigner and what have you. Well, folks, it's been going on for a long time. I don't think Trump has any connections to it, but it's been going on for a long time, all the way to the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. And the facts are out there. This isn't something that's, you know, some conspiracy theory that somebody made up to sell books. This is a fact, and it's easy to prove. You can just look at all of the things that we've done. The interest that funded the Bolsheviks, you could look at the Wilson administration, that they were able to release Trotsky. Trotsky went back to Russia, took took the country over, and they pulled Russia out of the war. And you could look at interest in England also that were part of this. John Maynard Keynes, the socialist, communist, child-molesting homosexual, also was very much involved. He was one of the few Westerners that had absolute access to the Soviet Union. There was a book called British Agent by Bruce Lockhart. And this book talked about Raymond Robbins. Raymond Robbins was part of what they call their infamous Red Cross mission to Russia, and he actually was little more than a stooge for the big banks. And this British diplomat, couldn't believe how much influence that Raymond Robbins had. When he's in the room, Raymond Robbins puts a call into Lenin, and Lenin is basically snapping at attention to this man, and he says, who is this man that has all this influence over Lenin? Well, he simply represented the money interests. And that's another interesting book, British Agent, which is mentioned by Ed Griffin in his important book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Now, Ed Griffin, I have the pleasure of knowing Ed. I've met him in the early 90s. And in fact, took him around New England on his first book tour for the book, Creature from Jekyll Island. He talks about the history, first of all, the history of money, what money is, what real money is, and what this Federal Reserve Bank is. And folks, if you're a patriot and you want to really understand how the money system works, you need to invest a little bit of time. And that book is a little bit of it with 600 pages, but it reads very well. At the very least, just catch a video of his. I interviewed him about a year ago. You can find that interview in the Podomatic archive. but that's an important book. And it's funny, when you read a book like that, he makes references to many other important books. And Ed, his very first book was a book called The Fearful Master. It was a second look at the United Nations. And this was a very important book. It says, United Nations is one of the entities that we need to abolish. And there are people in the conservative movement who say, oh, no, we need to reform the UN. oh, we have to keep our enemies close, and we need to be part of that. We need to reform it and what have you. No, you do not reform a cancerous tumor. You get rid of it. You cut it out. So there, if you're a true blue patriot, and it doesn't matter what part of the world you're in, the UN is your enemy if you love freedom, and we need to get out of the UN. And the books like this help us understand the foundations of the UN, who were its founders, people like Alger Hiss. I think there were something like several dozen Communist Party members that played a key role in the founding meeting. I'm talking about U.S. Communist Party members. And Alger Hiss was the agent, the Stalinist agent that was in the Roosevelt administration at Yalta. And you wonder why what happened at Yalta. Yalta was after the war. There was a meeting in Yalta by Stalin and Roosevelt. I'm sure not after the war. It was in February of 1945, prior to the ending of the war. Roosevelt died in April of 45, a little before the actual ending of the war in Europe, which happened in early May. So at Yalta, they agreed. Stalin said, "I want my slaves back." He didn't say it in that so many words, but he wanted all of the people that have escaped or fled the Red Army and something known as Operation Keel Haul, which most of you probably have never heard because you'll never see a movie made about it. You will never see Hollywood talk about it. You won't hear neoconservative talk show hosts talk about it. They don't want to address the subject. They're afraid to. One of the first men to expose it was Robert Welch, who wrote a book called The Politician. Robert Welch was the founder of the John Birch Society. And in The Politician, he makes reference to this horrible ordeal where up to over 2 million people, including men, women and children and members of the clergy, were forced back to the hands of the Russians, the communists, many of whom were killed, butchered, worked to death in slave labor camps. And so the book, The Politician, goes into that. But there have been several other books that corroborate some of these atrocities that you're not supposed to know about. And one of them is a book that just came into my hands. It's called Other Losses, written by a Canadian, James Bacque. An investigation into the mass deaths of German prisoners. Oh, actually, Other Losses goes into Operation Keel Haul a little bit. But it goes into also some of the atrocities that were committed by the Allies in post-war Germany. Again, you're not supposed to know this because we were supposed to be the liberators and had nothing but peace and goodwill to our former enemies. But there is a book called Operation Keel Haul, written by Julius Epstein, that goes into it as well. So those are important books to understand a little bit of the history. And in Other Losses, it goes into a lot of German prisoners of war. Now, the average German soldier was not an ideological Nazi that murdered Jews and children and innocent Jews and children. They were soldiers, and when the war ends, they're prisoners. There's certain codes of conduct, certain ways you're supposed to treat prisoners. And we are supposed to have been better than the Nazis and have the moral upper hand, and we don't treat the former enemies, enemy combatants, as they may treat us. In fact, actually, the Germans treated the Americans and the British relatively well, considering the standards of the German standards. They didn't treat the Russian POWs very well, quite brutally, unfortunately. But they and the Russians treated their prisoners brutally as well. Anyway, so this book, Other Losses, goes into the story of how thousands of German prisoners of war died. Some of them were just kept in open fields and fenced around and no medical attention, and many of them died. And you didn't know about it because it's not a popular topic. It doesn't fit the narrative. So that's another important book. Now, one of the books that came to the attention of the American people in the 90s was a book called Tragedy and Hope, written by Carol Quigley. Now, there were a lot of people in the Patriot Movement that knew about this book. It was published in 1966. It was quite a tome and very dull reading. So there are some books you say, gee, you don't have to read every single page. But there are some things in there that Quigley really sort of let the cat out of the bag. He admitted that that the people, there are forces in this world that operate much like the radical right. I'm somewhat quoting verbatim. The radical right claimed communist, and he said that he had no problem with these organizations, and he only wished that their intentions were better known or their goals were well known. And he was talking about the big foundations and the groups like the Council on Foreign Relations. So he admitted that there was a goal for a one-world government, and he liked the idea. So that book, it was very interesting. I got a chance to debate a gentleman whose father was president of Harvard at one time. And on driving him, one of the conditions of the debate on the radio show was that he needed a ride to the Boston Museum of Fine Arts. And it was, you know, 3 hours away. He didn't have the ability to get there at the time. His wife was in New York City. So his name was Teddy Conant, Theodore Conant. So I drove him from this radio talk show in a station in Lebanon, New Hampshire, all the way to Boston. I don't live too far from the museum. And he told me how the CIA was commissioned or hired to remove certain books from libraries. And I said, doesn't surprise me, Annie. That's what happened to Tragedy and Hope. And that book's available. Somebody bootlegged the book, had it published offshore. And when Quigley got word of it, he, instead of getting really upset about it, he says, just cut me in on the deal here, buddy, because his publisher lost the plates and had no interest in reprinting it. But Cleon Skousen, the late Cleon Skousen, and by the way, Cleon Skousen has written a lot of great books on the Constitution. The 5,000-Year Leap is probably one of the better-known books, and I recommend that, too, to get an understanding. But he wrote a book. It was actually really just a critique of Carol Quigley's book. So he had the courage to read this boring 600-plus page tome. And his little review of that is called The Naked Capitalist. So this is the book I would recommend. And it's actually back in print. We have copies of the original paperback version. I don't know if it came out in hardback, and I may have. But it says... a review and commentary on Dr. Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, reviewed by W. Cleon Skousen. And that's the book that I would recommend because you get a handle on all of the characters involved, Harry Hopkins, George Marshall, Algier Hiss, Owen Latimer, Dean Atkinson, and some of the patriots that tried to put a stop to it, like Joe McCarthy. The Ruther Memorandum, this was back in the early 60s, the United Auto Workers, president of the union, wanted to basically shut down conservative thought and the work they did to it. And that's something that's still going on. People like J.P. Morgan, Bernard Baruch, and all of these bad guys that were instrumental in setting up this this welfare warfare state. So that book is another important book that I recommend. Let's see what other great things... you want to get books on the environment. There's been some books published in the early 90s, Trashing the Planet by Dixie Lee Ray. She was a former governor, I think, of Washington State, head of the Nuclear Commission. Brilliant lady. And she goes into, initially back in the 90s, it was population. It was a big population control. But acid rain and ozone depletion, these were the two bigger issues that they were trying to scare us. They were going to, they told us that if we stopped, we didn't use stop using aerosol cans, that the big hole in the ozone would all get skin cancer and die in a couple of years. And then, of course, the acid rain, that the CO2 in the environment was killing the trees. And if we'd ban all the CO2s and what have you, and allow the government to do everything for us, that every tree would be dead. And a lot of people bought into that. Every time they saw a dead tree, oh, my goodness, look what acid rain's done. Oh, my goodness. When, in fact, they determined that CO2 was not only was it beneficial, they called it the poor man's fertilizer. And when they did studies, CO2-enhanced environments, that plants in that environment grew 3 to 4 times their normal growth rate. And when it comes to the ozone hole, they said, yeah, in the Antarctic, see, 6 months out of the year, there's this gigantic hole, and my goodness, if you're down there and trying to suntan, you're going to die of skin cancer. Well, in order to make ozone, you need sunlight, and there's not a lot of sunlight down in the Antarctic in the wintertime. So, of course, you're going to have a big hole over the Antarctic, but as soon as the sun starts coming out, ozone's created, and the hole's covered up, and there's no problem. So
you don't hear much about these two things, but this is just a history of the scares that we get. And every time it's, we need more government. Now it's sea levels rising. And it's very fascinating to me that these people, oh my goodness, we're going to be underwater in a few years. Al Gore's ex-wife just bought some beachfront property in California. Ask any real estate agent who sells beachfront property and tell us how much of a how that price is bottomed, how real estate and beachfront property is bottomed. Go to Cape Cod, you can buy anything you want for 10 cents on the dollar. No, that's not the case. It's just the opposite. So to suggest that if the sea levels were rising, this property would be underwater, it'd be useless. So why isn't the price, why aren't they giving this property away? In fact, why aren't they abandoning this property? It might be, it's going to be worthless. Property underwater isn't worth anything. So someone's lying to us. And it looks like this. Dr. Michael Kaufman, the late Michael Kaufman, who was also a camp instructor and a good friend of mine, he wrote a book called Saviors of the Earth. That was one of his first books written to the late layman. As a scientist, he wrote a few books that were more digestible to people who were in the scientific community. But this book, The Saviors of the Earth, is an important book to understand the foundations, the organizations behind the environmental movement, and, of course, what to do about it. Just knowing this information isn't going to start the problem. He also, one of his last books was Rescuing a Broken America, Why America is Deeply Divided and How to Heal It Constitutionally. So that's an important book, and we just got a few of these our way. So anyway, this you can spend your whole life reading books, and you can't read every single book out there, but there are a lot of excellent books that need to be in your library and you need to be read and understood. And then it's up to you just to share this information. That's why these people wrote these books. There's one book I want to mention before I go, before we get another minute or so here. It's called The Whole of Their Lives by Benjamin Gitlow. Benjamin Gitlow was a Communist Party member, a very active party member in New York City. He came out of the party, became a patriot, and he wrote this book to pretty much help us in the freedom movement understand the commitment and dedication the Communist Party expected of its members. They didn't say, oh, well, it's a football game tonight, so don't worry about coming to the meeting. Oh, gee, it's holiday season, so we understand. Or, gee, it's too hot, or it's too cold, or the weather is, it's raining out, so I understand why you didn't show up today. They wanted the whole of your lives. You know, Christians are supposed to give 10% of their income. Communist Party wanted 20% or more. They wanted you to do something every single day for the party. And a lot of people in our ranks, well, they get a little discouraged because an election was lost, or a bill was passed and signed into law, and, oh, it's too late. We can't do anything about it. It's over. Oh, I'm burned out. I've been to 3 meetings the last month. I'm burned out. I've done enough. Or somebody called me a name. Somebody said I was an extremist. Somebody at work didn't like me, and they made fun of me. And I've had it. You know, I'm getting rid of my books, and I've heard about these things, witnessed these things. Some people get into the fight, and a week later they're out of the fight because they become an expert. They know more than you, and they know that we can't win. And that's what the enemy wants us to do, by the way. So you get a copy of The Whole of Their Lives. You see why they are winning. It's because of the dedication they put in, not because they have the truth, but because of the dedication and the commitment they put in. Well, to get these books, of course, Amazon. You can also, again, get a hold of me directly and say, hey, Hal, you know, can you give me recommend some books? So, you know, put it down and visit my Facebook page and scroll down. And some of these books, I'm uploading books all the time, and I've got 25 boxes more things to go through. And so please become an informed patriot. And with that, I want to thank you for listening. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff, heard on WBCQ The Planet every Monday night. And until next week, may God bless you.